The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the College for Creative Studies, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always, as soon as the blood stops rushing from my ears, that's all. The tower chimes are getting a little louder.
The tower chimes are getting louder every year.
Man, Quasimodo must be on steroids or something this week.
It'd be nice if we had an actual person to ring the chimes a la, you know, Notre Dame and pulling the ropes, but it's all mechanical.
Doggone it.
Continuing around the table, Professor Chuck Hokett is here from ITS.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's good. I wish I would see the sun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I guess it's supposed to be like that all weekend.
Yeah, yes, lovely.
A little bit of sun. Yesterday.
Yeah, but it's going to get up to 50-some degrees tomorrow.
That's right. Lovely March weather we're having.
That's right. Baseball's coming.
I know.
It could be a so-so season.
We'll see.
I would say rebuilding, but we didn't get any.
We didn't really get anybody new.
Hey, Pudge is in the Hall of Fame.
That's right. Last Tiger to get into the Hall of Fame was Al Kaline. That's been a while.
And Pudge is going in as a Ranger.
Yeah, he's
going
to be wearing the Ranger cap. Oh, well.
Cabrera. It's always when they leave us.
For some reason. Isn't that funny? Professor Jim Tubbs is here from Religious Studies.
Hello, hello.
From my perspective, it's just a donut box and a head floating above it.
That's all we need Jim for.
It's a big donut box, ladies.
Floating above the donut box.
Real big donut box. How are things going, Jim?
Oh, well, so far so good, I think.
Hey, what were you talking to Stephanie's class about?
Oh, she's got that seminar on biological issues in society and ethics. So I was explaining to them how to parse out the ethical issues of the topics they were working on.
Nice, nice. We're continuing around the table here. We have a new panelist. We know Joe's going to come back a million more times because he's going to have the greatest time of his life starting today. From the Department of Communication Studies, it's Professor Joe Abbasid. Joe, can you give us just a little background on what your specific disciplinary expertise?
In the Department of Communication Studies, I have a background in political communication, public relations.
Okay.
I've taught some sort of journalism studies with the sort of mass communication in the background. So really my expertise would be more in politics and media, those sorts of things.
Well, the study of political communication should keep you busy for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yes, I think, Joe, you've got your work cut out for you.
I do.
But that's a good place to be, at least.
The fact that you can tolerate Jason in the same department.
Yeah, that's also a big deal.
Jason is
fun.
We're, for all the listeners, I'm probably not going to hear from Professor Roach for a while. He's on leave so they can take care of his son.
He's a new papa.
He's a papa.
He doesn't sleep much anymore.
No, he doesn't. He didn't before, but now he doesn't, for real.
Now he's got to read.
No. He gets to bed at 10 o'clock.
Does he?
Easily. Oh, and he's up at 5 in the morning.
Wow. Big time controlled sleeper. Folks, this is a program. You can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Or find us on Facebook. When last we left our heroes, we had some wonderful questions from a brand new question writer, Judy Palmer. Who had sent stuff in from Dallas, Texas. I just want to make sure that we put Joe, whenever we get a new listener, we put a little pin in the map up there. And whenever we get a question about United States geography, we look up at the map up there.
Helps us out. Even if we get questions on Australia,
we tend to look at the U.S. map for orientation.
Check. So what day of the week is named after the Norse god of wisdom?
Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. That was a really good guess.
I looked up the map.
Who's the Norse god of wisdom?
Who is it?
Witan?
No, it says it's Odin, you know, the grandfather of the gods, and he's sometimes known as Woden, which is where the translation comes from.
Oh, okay.
Don't ask me how I
gravitated right to that. There are 6 letters of the Roman alphabet, the English alphabet, let's say, that no U.S. state name starts with.
Q.
That is true.
U.
No, Utah.
No, Utah.
Oh, Utah.
Okay. Z.
Z.
X.
X.
Y.
Y.
There's only 26 more.
Let's see, what kind of hints can I give you?
How many is there? How many do we have so far?
B.
B is one.
Yeah, right.
Really, really close. Really close. Really close. Oh, yeah, we should be looking at the map.
E.
E is one of them. Yep. Okay. I got J here as well. I'm thinking New Jersey, that's a little bit of a stretch. Technically starts with an N. You guys did very, very well.
California.
Exifornia.
Arizona.
Everything's extreme. What state is the sugar state? Speaking of the states, what state's nickname?
Louisiana.
It says Louisiana.
Really?
Sure. Why the sugar state?
Why sugar say that?
No.
Well, because I think they did grow and refine a lot of sugar and ship it out of New Orleans.
There's a reason why the Caribbean is so rife with rum. It's because exactly, of New Orleans, primarily, right? And that's where we get our rum from, sugar cane. Oh, my. I think that most red-blooded Detroiters know that our city's unofficial nickname is the Paris of the North. I think we've been told that.
Paris of the Midwest.
Paris of the Midwest. What city is the Chicago of the North? Chicago was pretty far north to start with. But
Buffalo?
Minneapolis?
Chicago. No, actually, we're gonna leave the contiguous 48 states.
Well, like Juneau?
Close.
Vancouver.
Nope.
Anchorage.
It says it's Anchorage.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
Why Anchorage?
I don't know.
Chicago of the far, 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 far north.
Yes, and what makes it akin to Chicago is another really great question.
Maybe it's the number of nations whose airlines land there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the O'Hare Airlines.
Midway Airlines.
They do have an interesting airport with a lot of, big grizzly bears stuffed in glass cases.
I hope they have guns in the schools to take care of
them. DeVos could take care of that. Oh, did we go there?
Oh, in every lunchbox.
Every lunchbox. What two countries are Japan's closest neighbors?
South Korea.
Yeah.
And Russia.
Russia. Okay. Yes, very well done. Very, very well done. What two cities make up the world's busiest flight route? Carrying, are you ready? 3.5 million passengers every calendar year.
What two cities
on opposite sides of the flight?
Atlanta?
No, it's not United States.
United States.
That's not what it says here.
Wow. London and...
don't think too hard.
Paris.
London and Paris.
Okay, I was going to say
Paris.
That's interesting since they have a very comfortable train route between them that's almost as fast.
Yeah, that's actually quite true.
Yeah, what's wrong with the channel?
A little swimming route, too.
Yeah.
I love the channel because, you leave downtown and you come to downtown.
Mm-hmm. I got to bring up here, for Joe's sake, just based on the kind of head-scratching that we do on the show, we're always constrictured, I'd say, by the kinds of responses that our question writers give us as the correct answer. So there's sort of an element of Family Feud, for instance.
Right.
We're playing the feud, and it's all, what is the tallest structure in, Italy? And the number one response is the Eiffel Tower or something like that. There could be mismatched sorts of things. For instance, my wife, literally, I leave for work before she even gets up. I say, goodbye, honey, I'll see you later. And she says to me this morning, don't forget to mention that you actually like multi-meal cereals because you complained about it a couple weeks ago that I buy those, but you actually like them, so I want to fact correct on your next podcast.
Okay, so now you have confessed.
I've confessed. I actually like multi-meal cereals.
You're forgiven.
So every once in a while, we might come across something that doesn't really add up.
We will forgive you both for your past indiscretion and for liking multi-meal cereal.
Who was the last president, this would be pre-Clinton, that didn't serve in the military? This is a fairly well-known piece
Kennedy.
Of trivia. It doesn't say that.
No.
He was Navy.
Kennedy. But it definitely was after Kennedy.
Hoover?
Nope.
Oh, after Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Kennedy?
Nixon?
Nope.
Johnson?
Ford. It was Johnson. Lyndon Johnson.
Oh, LBJ.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, what
now we have another president, or several presidents in the modern era who haven't served in the military, strictly speaking. In what city was Louis Armstrong born?
St. Louis?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, you know.
Chattanooga, Nashville.
This city has its airport, since we're talking airports, named after him, actually.
New Orleans.
Oh. It's New Orleans, yeah.
I remembered it by the airport.
What are the names of the two longest bones in the human body?
Femur.
Femur and?
Tibula?
Tibia. We'll give it to you. Count Tibula says it's okay. Thumbs up. But that's not the bone. The bone's
okay.
In the legs. If you spent 85% of your money, but have $75 left, how much did you begin with?
Where's Dan when we need him? Where's a math guy?
Where's our math guy?
I went to art school, so I wouldn't have to do math.
You spent 85% of your money, but you have $75 left. How much did you begin with? If only Kendra were here. We have several people on the panel, Joe, that have the ability to just sort of guess. No, it's quite a bit less than that, actually. It's in the hundreds.
900.
Close enough for government work. $500. Okay. Yeah. I'm giving it to you correct. You had 500 bucks to start with.
No, this is where Kendra comes in handy. Somebody usually overshoots, somebody undercuts, and then magically Kendra just gets it within the ballpark.
Exactly. Yeah. In 1911, four Hollywood stars formed the United Artists. Three males and one female. Who were they?
Mary Pickford.
Yep.
Charlie Chaplin.
Yes.
Douglas Fairbanks.
And? Starts also with a D.
Oh, boy.
The D.
Initials D.W.G.
D.W. Griffith.
D.W. Griffith.
So three actors and a director.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yep. Always need to be reminded of this because I've lived old enough to see some people pass. How old was Roy Orbison when he died? Looked a lot older than he was.
He was young.
He was in his 50s?
Mid-50s?
Exactly right. Yeah. He was early 50s. 52 early years old.
Yeah. Incredible. He looked older, yeah. He looked
incredible.
That's because the sunglasses and the hairdo that was like from the 1800s.
Right.
Come on, he looked Prince Valiant with sunglasses.
What former NFL player was so ferocious in tackling? The league instituted the now ubiquitous face mask rule where you can't tackle an opponent by grasping their face mask.
Mean Joe Green?
You know, that's a great guess, but that's not what it says here. Someone with a very classic nickname.
Classic nickname. Mean Joe is always a classic one.
See if you guys can get the nickname if I give you the name. His name was Dick Lane.
Oh, Night Train.
Night Train Lane. Yes.
He was a Lion.
He was a Lion.
Yeah, he was a Lion.
There's one thing I don't know very much about. It's Lions history.
Yeah, trust me, there isn't much to talk about.
All right, I've got some questions here. We're moving on to a new set, and this should be prescient. Oh, well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break first. We're going to tackle a new set of questions here. It's a little bit awkward, but we'll make our way through it. These were sent in by my parents, John and Dean Mayo.
Oh, no.
After seeing our bit on Under the Radar Michigan on PBS, and they said, wow, I want to get one of those cool mugs. And I said, well, I can't just get you one. You have to send in questions. So here are 20 questions to test your knowledge of presidential inaugurations.
Oh, Lord.
Courtesy of the Harry S. Truman Library, also known as the Library.
The library.
Who was the first president inaugurated after the 22nd Amendment, which limited presidents to two terms?
Eisenhower.
Eisenhower.
Because it happened during the Truman administration, so it didn't apply to him.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's wild. Who was the youngest president at the day of his inauguration?
Kennedy.
Yes. Very good. What was the first inauguration that was televised?
Eisenhower? No, Truman. No.
It was Truman.
Truman in 48.
49, yeah. 49, yeah, that's what it says. Side note, I don't think I'm jumping. I've looked ahead on these, so I don't think the question is coming up for us. But whose presidential inauguration was the first one streamed on the internet? This is kind of mind-blowing.
Clinton. I saw that in the news yesterday.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
The guy on NPR comments, I'm guessing the lag time was very good. Yeah.
Especially when it's dial-up back then.
Dial-up. Wow. Where is the oath of office, which does appear, written by James Madison himself, in the Constitution?
What is it? Article 2?
Yeah, Article 2, Section 1. Yeah, it's one of the first things they say about the presidency. These are the 35 words that all presidents will speak when they take the oath of office. Who became president as a result, air quotes, of the Compromise of 1877?
Oh, Hayes?
Hayes. Yeah. Rutherford B. Hayes.
And Need B. Tilden.
Yes.
Nobody names their kid Rutherford anymore, do they?
Well, I was just going to say.
Some are tempted, I'm sure.
Yo, Ruthie.
Yeah, Ruthie. What's the nickname? Whose inaugural address contained this phrase? The torch has been passed to a new generation
John
of
F.
Americans.
Kennedy.
Yes. There's a man who did his studying before class today.
Man.
And here we go. We have this question we were all gathering earlier. We don't need Professor Finkenbein from history to help us out. Who was the first president who was inaugurated on 20 of January?
FDR.
It was FDR. His
third term.
Mm-hmm. His third term. Absolutely. The first inaugural ball was held after which president's inauguration?
Adams?
Doesn't say Adams. Yeah. It's a little bit after Adams. Very little after Adams.
Jefferson?
Jefferson.
Nope.
Madison.
Yeah. Good guess.
Man, those
party Dolly animals. Liked Dolly to party. Yeah. Serve ice cream. Yeah.
She was serving zingers.
Dolly Madison cake.
Of course, Jackson's, gosh, they've invited the people mm-hmm. to come, and they trashed the White House, broke
That's
out
right.
the windows,
That's
walked
right.
in and out the windows.
Oh, my. Which president supposedly wore a ring to his inauguration that contained a lock of hair cut from Lincoln's head after his body was recovered after his assassination? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, strange.
Say Grant?
No, it wasn't Grant, but that's a reasonable guess. It was a little bit after Grant.
Garfield?
Nope. Getting closer, though.
McKinley?
Mm-hmm. How about this for the classic piece of trivia about this president? They said that when he was writing his memoirs, he broke the letter I on his typewriter because he used the word so much.
LBJ?
Nope.
Who else had ego? Kennedy? That huge?
No.
Or Wilson?
No.
Had a huge ego.
It says here it was Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh,
had a ring
okay.
with
and he had a
Lincoln's,
lock of Lincoln's hair.
That's pretty
in his
weird.
Ring.
That is pretty weird stuff.
Ew. Why? Well, let's just leave it a hair. Yeah, could have been something worse. Mm.
You know, it said I'm not quite sure how to interpret this, and I know I'm missing something. The question is, whose was the bicentennial inauguration? But what does that specifically
what,
refer
Reagan
to?
Reagan and Carter.
Yeah, Reagan.
Carter.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it says here George W. Bush, and there's something I'm not understanding about that response. Bicentennial of what?
Oh, well, the 200 years from the first inauguration.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Yeah. Okay. That
not
makes
the country,
sense. Not
the
country.
Country.
Okay. Inauguration. The country. Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
That makes sense. Who was the first person to report an inauguration by telegraph, 1845? Don't think too hard.
Edison?
Morse.
No, Morse. I mean, it was like perfectly trained to be able to do this job. It makes perfect sense. Whose inauguration was supposedly the first to be photographed?
Lincoln?
No.
Franklin Pierce?
No, but it's that era, though. Mr. Bachelor.
Buchanan.
Yep, Jim Buchanan.
JB.
Yeah, we knew each other personally. That's why I can call him Jim. Whose inauguration was the first recorded on a movie, and it actually had an audio track record to be played alongside of it? Someone you just mentioned, actually, though, Jim.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
You mentioned
them
all.
There's only 45.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
did sort of mention them all. Cleveland? Cleveland again?
Yeah. McKinley, I guess.
It says McKinley, yeah.
McKinley. That's when both the phonograph and the video.
There you go.
Film were invented.
Whose inauguration was the first one broadcast by radio?
FDR. No,
Hoover. No, it doesn't say that.
Harding?
Let's just say that this guy probably didn't have that
Coolidge.
Much to say. It was Calvin Coolidge. Yes. And continuing with that vein, whose inauguration was the first broadcast by newsreel?
Hoover.
It says here, Herbert Hoover.
His was the first to be broadcast by newsreel?
By newsreel is what it's. Oh, with sound, pardon
oh,
me.
With sound. Sound. Oh, with sound. Yeah, because sound didn't come into the movies till 1929.
Right. What president was inaugurated more than a month later than the March deadline set by the Constitution on April 30th?
Grant.
No. I think we're going to need to understand the circumstances by which we would
have been
post-assassination.
See, who died? Who died? Someone died?
No, because that wouldn't be an inauguration. That would just be a swearing in.
Yeah, right.
What would have delayed an inauguration? Well, bad weather, maybe.
way back in the day.
Transportation problems.
Or how about not really knowing how to do an inauguration?
George Washington.
How about Washington?
Okay.
How do we do this?
Where will we do this?
Yes,
how will we do this?
Exactly.
What? We get to start tradition?
We know what to say, but that's it.
The amendment to the Constitution, which number amendment to the Constitution established 20 of January as Inauguration Day?
19th?
Close.
20th.
It's the 20th.
20th.
Makes perfect sense. 20 for 20, you know? What future president lost his hat at President Zachary Taylor's inauguration?
Lincoln?
It says Lincoln. Lost his hat.
The big hat.
I mean,
the wind,
we know this.
You know, that stovepipe hat was pretty tall.
It wasn't exactly too aerodynamic. I mean, you know, probably.
A young Teddy Roosevelt was in the cloud with a pair of scissors waiting to get Lincoln's hair. What president was sworn in at his home in New York State?
Grant?
Mm-mm. Oh, Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm, that's not what it says here.
Sworn in at his
home. Wasn't it who was sick? Someone was sick. Wasn't it?
I hesitate to say that the amount that I know about these presidents, I know this person's picture, and he was the president of Mutton Chops. I can tell you that right now.
Chester Arthur.
Chester A. Arthur. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, that's right, because Garfield was shot.
Yeah, exactly. It was a rush job. Whose inauguration came only 82 days after he became vice president?
82? Teddy Roosevelt.
Nope.
One of the Johnsons.
Nope. That's not what it says. It says Harry Truman here. 82 days after he became vice president.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, that's kind of terrifying to see how that
January
might...
to April.
Yep, that's exactly right. We'll continue with some great questions. Those were fine questions.
Okay,
those
and your parents got one mug or two?
I don't know. I think we got most of them right.
Okay. So, all
right,
so fine. We'll give them two.
We'll give them half a mug.
Oh, no. Yeah, you get one mug, no cream, right?
By sending them in another set of questions.
Yeah, but you got to deliver, though, don't you?
Isn't there one? Yeah, I probably do. Yeah.
All right.
Probably do. Okay, dear Matt and professors, below is another one of my long-winded lists on one of my favorite topics, movies and stars. I'll list four of the actors, and it'll be up to the profs to come up with the movie that all of them starred together in. Have fun, our wonderful friend Julie Elder from Poughkeepsie, New York.
Where's Dan when we need him for this?
I know. Yeah. He's the guy that can do these. He's the guy that can do these. We'll make it happen. I'm good for at least a few hints.
We'll muscle our way through.
Okay. Ernest Borgnine. Lee Van Cleef, Donald Pleasance, Harry Dean Stanton.
I was going to
be
Western. I was going to go Poseidon Adventure, but that's not it.
No,
it's a modern, almost borderline dystopian sci-fi.
Westworld?
No, but you're getting there. Let's see. I'm trying to think.
Who the star? Escape from New York.
Escape from New York is what it was. That was Kurt Russell.
Russell. Yes. Yeah. Snake
Plissken. Yes.
Adrian Barbeau.
Oh my
God! Rest be still, my beating heart.
Every once in a while, we get a little overlap. So here's Ernest Borgnine, Shelley Winters, Roddy McDowall.
Poseidon Adventure.
Wow! I didn't even finish. That was great. Very good. Oh, we are definitely doing the little jump from person to person here. Roddy McDowall, Rex Harrison, Martin Landau, Elizabeth Taylor. That should be the giveaway. Classic era of movies. Elizabeth Taylor as the lead.
National Velvet?
No.
Elizabeth Taylor as the lead. Rex Harrison, you said?
Rex Harrison, Dr. Roddy McDowall, Martin Landau, Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor was wearing a lot of jewelry in this movie, as in all over her body. I figured that would be a good guess, but apparently.
Cleopatra?
Cleopatra is what it was, yes.
Roddy McDowall's
Cleopatra.
What as part? What?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
I can't
Rex McDowell. Rex Harrison played Caesar, I think.
Yeah, but what is
played
Mark Antony.
Mark Antony.
Yeah, but Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell was like guard number four or something, you know.
He's in the back, behind the Sphinx.
Elephant leader. The triumphal parade.
Jeffrey Holder, Yaphet Kotto, Jane Seymour, Roger Moore.
Oh, what's that James Bond one?
Yeah.
Great song.
Paul McCartney sings it.
Yes.
It's crud.
Oh, I can't believe you can't do this.
Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die.
Oh, sorry, I had to get to the chorus in my head. That's all. I just had to pass it.
Jane Seymour, Bradley Cooper, Christopher Walken, Vince Vaughn.
It's gonna be someone new. Oh, the wedding.
Wedding singer, you wedding crashers.
You got it. Wedding crashers. There we go.
Wedding thing.
Wedding thing. You know, the wedding thing.
The wedding thing.
See, this is how we usually work. Well, somebody starts and somebody else finishes.
Nothing wrong with that. Should let our students do this on their exams. Christopher Walken, Bruce Willis, Eric Stoltz, Samuel L. Jackson. Although, you can't put Sam Jackson on any of these lists. He's been in every movie.
Yeah. Right. Wasn't he in Dr. Doolittle?
Could have been.
Cleopatra.
Christopher Walken, Bruce Willis, Eric Stoltz, Samuel L. Jackson. I'll say the first three before Sam Jackson had very bit parts in this movie.
See, I was going to go like Pulp Fiction, but...
It is Pulp Fiction.
Oh, it is?
Exactly what it is,
Eric Stoltz was in Pulp Fiction?
Yes, he was. Just a bit part. Oh, just a bit part.
He was behind the Sphinx.
With Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. With Ryan McDowell.
Bruce Willis, Rosario Dawson, Brittany Murphy, Rutger Hauer. Very modern movie. Frankly, very graphic-y.
Sin City.
Yes, Sin City was the name of that one. It's based on a graphic novel,
Rutger
right?
Hauer? Yeah.
It says Rutger Hauer was in that.
I don't remember. Okay.
Rutger Hauer, Daryl Hannah, Sean Young, Harrison Ford.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner. Gosh.
And they're doing the second one.
Why are they going to make a sequel to that movie? I just...
Leave it be.
Oh, man. I think there's a grand total of four original screenplay movies being, you know, sent out in 2017. Cobbled on, yeah.
You know, why did they redo Mad Max?
Except for apparently that was a good movie.
Yeah, it was.
So people said it was good. Yeah, all right. But do we need a Baywatch movie? That's my question. Daryl Hannah, Shirley MacLaine, Tom Skerritt, Sally Field. Whoa. Classic story.
Steel Magnolias.
It was a book first, yes. Yeah. Steel Magnolias.
Tom Skerritt played the father.
Okay. Sally Field, Harvey Fierstein, Martin Mull, Robin Williams. God bless him. Robin Williams had the lead role.
Miss Tootsie. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
I knew it was one of those.
Mrs. Tootsie. You had the cross-dresser.
I had the cross-dresser on, the dress on, everything. But
yes. Something like it hot. No.
Robin Williams, Calista Flockhart, Diane Wiest, Gene Hackman.
Birdcage.
Birdcage, another classic movie.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, no, that's a
very, very funny movie. Gene Hackman, Terry Garr, Cloris Leachman, Peter Boyle.
Young Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
Love that movie.
Cloris Leachman, Dabney Coleman, Jim Varney, Leah Thompson. Oh, my.
Varney's only been in like a handful. Like Ernest Goes to College or whatever.
And it wasn't Ernest, but it was the only other thing he had. Trust me. He played the patriarch of this very, very famous family from television.
Oh, Beverly Hillbillies.
Jed Clampett. Wasn't
yeah. Jed
Hold on. What was Leah Thompson?
I don't know, but she was in that movie. That was the beginning of taking old TV and turning it into things.
No. That was Cloris Leachman.
No, Cloris Leachman was Granny, wasn't she?
I thought she was Granny.
Okay, maybe you're right. I can't remember. Okay.
Dave's our go-to guy, Joe, for classic TV.
Just not classic movies.
I watch a lot of classic movies. I never pay much attention to the actors.
That's all right. Leah Thompson. You notice that we have these crossovers. Mary Steenburgen, Elizabeth Shue, Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, Back to the Future.
Yep, Back to the Future Part 3. Actually.
Part 3.
It qualifies.
Mary Steenburgen. Okay,
get half credit.
Speaking of Part 3s, Christopher Lloyd, John Larroquette, Robin Curtis, William Shatner.
Star Trek 3.
Search for Spock.
Okay, yep. Okay.
William Shatner, Michael Caine, Candace Bergen, Sandra Bullock.
Not Mrs. Doubtfire again.
She's a cop.
Yeah, that's right. You got it.
Beauty contest.
She's in the beauty contest.
Miss Congeniality.
Yeah. Okay. There so you I give you hints.
Yeah. Wow. Good the job.
Poor I just give you hints.
Oh, jeez.
Michael Caine, Fred Savage, of all people, Robert Wagner, Quincy Jones. This is horrible.
Whoa.
Fred Savage?
Yeah.
Mr. Wonder Years himself?
Michael Caine, Fred Savage, Robert Wagner, Quincy Jones.
Well,
if I put one more name on the end of that list,
Michael Caine is also like Samuel L. Jackson.
Is it pretty recent?
Relatively recent. If I put Mike Myers at the end of that list, you'd say, what?
Austin Powers?
It's Austin Powers, yes.
Okay.
Gold Member was the name of the movie.
Oh, that's right. Fred Savage had that mole on his face.
He had the mole, and they couldn't figure out if he was the mole. Oh, God.
Gotcha. Okay.
Robert Wagner, Faye Dunaway, Paul Newman, Steve McQueen.
Ooh. Oh.
It's a classic movie.
Come on, Joe, help it out.
We're going to have to wait till next time to be able to figure that out. Or maybe I'll tell you it was The Towering Inferno.
Oh,
okay. It's time for us to say goodbye. I was sort of wavering. You know, it was fire. It's time for us to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Hokett.
Have a good day.
Professor Tubbs.
Have a good weekend.
Professor Abhishek.
Thank you.
And thank you all now for these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building, the Department of Communication Studies, and the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miley.